Hello, and welcome to part two of the Thrones of Judgment. And we are now going to continue our study of the Thrones of Judgment, specifically the Great White Throne of Judgment. As we study it, we'll also see that we need to understand the difference between the Great White Throne of Judgment and the Bema Seat, the Judgment Seat of Christ. So please join me now as we look into the Great White Throne of Judgment. As the last throne of judgment, the Great White Throne is a subject of intense interest and concern among many Christians today. Both traditional and new Calvinists hold that all peoples, saved and unsaved, will stand and be judged at this fearful, awesome throne. Many hymns you will hear and sermons you'll hear written about Judgment Day, and that's their term for the Great White Throne Judgment. I do not believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. This is only for unsaved people. Because this judgment, as they teach it, causes unnecessary worry and fear for many believers today, I'd like to dispel any idea that true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ will stand at God's great white throne judgment. That throne of judgment is described in Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Let's read it together. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth, the heavens fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Now, the dead is always a term for those who are unsaved when there's a judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. This is not a judgment of salvation. Therefore, it isn't salvation by works, as is taught by many. No, this is to show them what they have committed against God and their rejection of Jesus Christ, and that they are deserving of the judgment. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Those to be judged will stand before God, who will have authorized and committed all judgment to his Son. For notice in John chapter 5, verses 22, 27, 30. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Verse 27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And in verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing, as I hear. I judge, says the Lord. My judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which hath sent me. God the Father will authorize his Son as judge, because he, as God and man, died and rose again to provide salvation for all humanity. Jesus Christ, remember, experienced temptation in all aspects that humans experience, but he never did sin. Therefore, at the great white throne, we see that Jesus Christ will be the judge acting under the authority of God the Father. Those judged are simply called the dead. This is a term never used of saved. For when believers die, their spirits are present with the Lord, and their bodies are considered to be asleep in Christ. Their actions or works of the unsaved will be examined before God from the record book of their lives, just as the nations and empires had been judged previously. According to Romans 2, the criteria applied to the examination for those who were given the law will be under the law. For those who did not have written law, the criteria will be the law that is written in their heart. A decision or judgment will be declared based upon the evidence, guilty as charged. for the Lord will say, I never knew you. The sentence and its outcome will be carried out, eternal separation from God and eternal torment in the lake of fire, which God, remember, originally prepared for Satan and his devils, but now would include all the unsaved. This is the second death. Again, judgment, eternal separation for those who chose to pay for their own sins and reject the Lord Jesus Christ's offer of salvation. Sadly, those who profess to believe but did not do so in their heart and with faith, they're going to be included in those judged. Hence the Lord will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now I want to take a brief time here and mention the judgment seat of Christ as it's often taught and the scriptures use that term. I prefer the term bema. You'll see why. Classic and New Calvinism. Classic denominations and New Calvinism teaches that the bema, called the judgment seat of Christ in our English translations, and they teach that the great white throne judgment are one and the same. Most Calvinists avoid careful comparison scripturally of these two different events, and they lump them together under the labels the last judgment or judgment day. I would note that the bema is not a judgment. Let me say that again. The bema is not a judgment and really shouldn't be called the judgment seat of Christ, but rather it's an accountability session between the Lord and his believers who are his stewards. For believers, the criteria is an evaluation of their actions of service as well as their motives. These are based upon knowing and doing the Master's will as guided by the Scriptures and prompted by the Holy Spirit. Believers are not under the law and will not be judged by it as those at the great white throne judgment will be. The bema is the manifestation, according to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, of the counsels of the hearts. For believers, the outcome will be reward or loss of reward. Time prohibits us from looking at the following passages that confirm this, but I suggest you take the list and carefully study it. 1 Corinthians 9, 24-27, Colossians 2, 18, 2 Timothy 4, 6-8, 1 Peter 5, 2, James 1, 12, 2 John 8, and Revelation 2, 10, and Revelation 3, 11. I say it again, the bema is not a judgment, for Christ was judged at the cross in our place, according to Romans 5, 8-11, and verse 18. And he paid our penalty. Therefore, Romans 8, 1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation to them, notice, which are in Christ Jesus. That's you if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and accepted his payment for your sins as your substitute upon the cross and was resurrected to prove he had conquered and paid him in full and was alive to offer us eternal life. Furthermore, notice the bema, there's no separation at the bema of Christ. The bride is joined to him, John 14, 1-3. The term judgment should not be applied to this event. Therefore, I call it the bema, which is the Greek term for the location where Christ meets with his people. Oh, you say, my Bible says the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, it does. But the Greek word for this phrase is a single word, bema, that is used several times in the Bible and is seldom translated as judgment seat. A bema is a physical location where a ruler examines his subjects or sportsmen and is rewarded for running a good race. It's not a throne. Let's look briefly at the differences between the bema and the great white throne judgment. Notice carefully the distinct differences between them. Believers are alive in Christ. Unbelievers are considered the dead. Believers are motivated by love and led by Scripture and the Holy Spirit to do God's will. Unbelievers are motivated by prideful self-effort and works done in the flesh. Believers will experience eternal life and rewards for faithfulness. Unbelievers will experience eternal death and separation in the lake of fire. Believers will enjoy eternal fellowship with God. Unbelievers are eternally separated from God. What's the outcome? Notice that carefully. There's no judgment, no separation, none at the Bema. For the unbelievers in the Great White Throne Judgment, there is separation, characteristic of judgment, and it's called the second death. Clearly, we have two distinctly separate events and groups of people. To place Christians at the Great White Throne Judgment is a complete misunderstanding of biblical judgment and our God. The Great White Throne Judgment will demonstrate to all created beings that God is righteous and holy. This is very important to a just God. He wants all creations to understand why he consigns some to an eternal place of torment and others to eternal fellowship with him. The throne of judgment will demonstrate to the unbeliever why he is condemned. Their own works will reveal the justness of their eternal state. Finally, it will reveal an individual's personal choice to rebel against God's will, rely on their prideful, self-centered works, and reject his Son. All will acknowledge that God is just and righteous. Notice Isaiah 26:9 tells us, "For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." They will understand why God must condemn. They will also understand it was an individual's personal choice to accept Christ during the days of their life upon the earth. Notice carefully, the believer already understands these truths that are taught through the Great White Judgment. Therefore, the believer has no need to have them shown to him, for he's already recognized the worthlessness of his own works, that nothing he could do could restore his relationship to God. He has understood that God's justice loomed before him, and only through the substitutionary death of Christ could he experience God's mercy and grace. His judgment took place at the cross, where God poured out his wrath upon his Son. Salvation and eternal life are received as a free gift by faith alone. Would a God of love judge and punish people? Yes, because he is also holy. But only a God of love and grace would give them an opportunity to repent and to take the time to explain why they must spend eternity in the lake of fire. It was their choice. The books of the Great White Throne Judgment will surely include many times demonstrating, showing to them that they rejected the light that would have brought them salvation through Jesus Christ. For God is a long-suffering God, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If you've never made that decision to receive Jesus Christ, I urge you to do it today. Contact us if you have questions, and we'll be glad to answer and show from the Bible how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior by simply trusting him by faith alone. If you do know the Lord, praise God, he is righteous and just, but he is also merciful, loving, and kind to those who accept his Son as their Savior. Now, until our next study in the thrones of God in history, may the Lord bless you mightily, and we'll either see you here or in the air.